watch cartoons. We'll take a look back at where we've been. So let's hop into our time machine.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Cartoon Time Machine. I'm Scarlett.
And I'm Katie.
And as you're listening to this, it is St. Patrick's Day. I am not Irish, but Katie, you're part Irish, or full Irish?
We're going to say full. Almost likely not, but, you know, the other parts are Welsh and Scottish, so what all that means is I'm 100% I hate the British.
Ah, love it. So yeah, top of the morning to you. I say thinking that that's a traditional Irish greeting.
I almost immediately did it in my best Irish accent, which is maybe okay, but not.
There was part of me that was considering it, and that part quickly dismissed it because I know I cannot do that.
But now I'm thinking of my Irish breakfast that I get every St. Patrick's Day-ish. Because sometimes you try to get it on St. Patrick's Day and it's very difficult.
So as someone who is only familiar with the traitorous English breakfast, how does an Irish breakfast differ?
The main difference for an Irish breakfast is you have black pudding and white pudding.
Okay.
That's the main difference. And then there is a different thing called a Scottish breakfast, which requires a little potato pancake.
Ooh, okay. I can get behind that.
And I, to be honest, I actually don't get an Irish breakfast because I don't like about half the things on the plate. I get boxty instead, which are Irish potato pancakes.
There you go. So you sort of made like a Scottish-Irish fusion out of that one is what I'm hearing with the potato cake.
Well, that's the only thing I get, so. Well, it comes with at least a meat because, well, it's Europe. There are no vegetarians in Europe. What are you talking about?
Well, you know what goes great with a hearty Irish breakfast is a hearty Irish cartoon. That's what we're talking about today. We're returning to a Cartoon Saloon, the Irish film company that has produced many great animated films. We last discussed them as we were talking about Wolfwalkers. And I also discussed My Father's Dragon. You and I discussed My Father's Dragon, or was that that one I had with a guest? I think it was you and I, right?
I wish I could tell you. I think it was.
Oh, I'm bad at remembering my own show.
Hey, we've done almost 180 of these. That's a lot of things to remember that we've talked about, and we talk a lot.
We do. So you'll forgive me, dear audience, if I don't remember exactly what that was. But the point is, we have talked Cartoon Saloon before. It's a wonderful company that produces some truly top-tier animation. And today's film is no exception. We're actually talking about the first in what is known as the Irish folklore trilogy from director Tom Moore. Which began here with Secret of Kells and continued with Song of the Sea, and then later
Wolfwalkers. St. Patrick's Day next year with Song of the Sea, probably.
Yeah, we'll have to wrap. We did this fully out of order because we did Wolfwalkers first. Now we're doing Secret of Kells next year. This time, stay tuned, Song of the Sea.
We just gotta check out Breadwinner sometime so we can just be like, we did it. We've topped
we
them
did
all.
It all.
A completed Pokedex.
I think Katie and I were discussing when we were planning our St. Patrick's Day episode, and you know, we sort of landed on Cartoon Saloon, of course, for their, you know, being very well known Irish animated film studio. And we were sort of thinking which one would be best, and we sort of went, well, this one sort of is the most Irish. Song of the Sea is also very Irish, but it's centered around Selkies, which is folklore in many different countries in that general region. So this Secret of Kells is of that trilogy, just so steeped in very specific Irish culture and heritage.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's based off a very Irish thing. So,
yeah,
it specifically can be claimed only by the Scots a little bit, and no one else.
I didn't know too. I don't know too much about the history of Ireland in general. I certainly don't know a whole bunch about Irish folklore. A lot of my knowledge of Irish folklore comes from Cartoon Saloon films. But Secret of Kells is, I think, a really good primer in that category, and I think does a really good job of showcasing the importance of certain aspects of Irish folklore, sort of specifically at the heart of this story, as you might be able to tell from the title, is the Book of Kells, which is a biblical book that is known for just its absolutely beautiful illustrations, and is a very important part of Irish culture. When I went to go visit there, I had the opportunity to see the book, but it was very expensive to see the book, so it made more sense just to think about it really strong in my head and imagine how beautiful the book is. I don't need to imagine, because I think this movie does a really good job at conveying exactly how intricate and colorful and unique this book is, and how there is, you know, very, very likely no equal to this book. And yeah, the story tells us a little bit about how it was created, at least according to legend. I'm a little unclear, Katie, maybe you know more about the extent to which this movie is more a folk tale about how it might have happened versus an actual historical record.
Are you saying you assume I did deep dive on Wikipedia about an hour ago about the Book of Kells again?
I'm very much assuming you did that, yes.
You are absolutely correct. So there are three prevailing theories on when the book of, and how the Book of Kells was written. There's three reasons about how it was actually written. There is folklore that it was written by the guy's name, which I unfortunately did immediately forget and went Clam Killer.
You mean like in the movie?
No, they are all the people in the movie, like the historical tale in the movie is the historical tale, the fantastical historical tale from real life. It is just mirroring a lot of the actual stories.
Do you mean like the was it Colm Killa?
Yes.
Yes.
Clam Killer.
Now I hear it. Yeah, there's a lot of Irish pronunciations in here that I'm absolutely gonna butcher, so just be prepared for that. And I'm sorry, I know the Irish people have been through a lot and don't deserve what I'm about to do to their beautiful language.
And I am slightly better about it.
You are definitely better about it. I come here very humbly.
Yes, but there is this historical tale that it was written by that one figure, likely was written by a number of monks over some years. And it is either written in Scotland and brought to Ireland while Scotland was being pillaged by the Vikings. Mm-hmm. It was written partially in Scotland before being moved to Ireland and Kells. And from Iona. Like, it is from Iona. A lot of this is just, yes, correct. Brought to Iona, to Kells. Thought that maybe part of it was written, part of it wasn't, or that it was all written there. And the variation they went for in the movie is that it was partially written and it was being finished in Kells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sort of like that for the thematicness of this movie, which is largely told from the perspective of a young boy, Brendan in Kells, who is he's sort of in the care of the abbots and has a strong love of books and illustration, and is sort of taken under the wing of a strange traveler from Iona. I know you just said it, but I'm bad at pronouncing things. Who comes with his fantastic book that is immediately enthralling to Brendan, and he immediately is drawn to Brother Aidan, who is making the book and wants to assist, and gains the help of friendly and unfriendly forest spirits in order to help complete it. I think that works very well thematically. I think it does a lot to add to the mysticism of this book. What I really like is I like that it sort of combines, you know, it is a book of Christian scripture at its core, and it's written by, you know, Christian monks and brothers, and can't pretend to know what the hierarchy of the church is and or was in, was it like 10th century?
Brothers are your layman priests,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Member like monks of an abbey, and then there's usually, I forget what the title is for the leader of an abbey, but It was divided really into abbeys at that point, and then you would have bishops of the area. It's very similar today, but just more separated because of, technology isn't there.
Fair. Yeah. Well, that all makes sense. But yeah, I like that. I like that aspect of combining that, very Christian scripture with, Celtic folklore, pagan folklore. I think Cartoon Saloon has historically done really well at that. I think it is also sort of what makes their works feel so fully Irish, because it's not, and I'm not to Irish splain, but I think what's one thing that's really cool about Ireland is sort of that combination, like Christianity and of course Catholicism specifically is really important to Ireland, but also so is that Celtic pagan folklore. And the fact that this story of the Book of Kells is a combination of those two aspects, I think makes for a very unique picture of a very unique country.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the art of the Book of Kells also, the actual the physical book, you look at it, and there is a lot of historical Celtic symbols that would trace back to the pagan stuff. You have a lot of Celtic knots. A lot of animals drawn in traditional Celtic style. And also his name is, I found out what Clam Killer's name is. It's called M'Killa.
Killa. I think I mostly had that. I'm gonna call that
Yeah.
a some. I'm gonna call that
And
some
frankly,
token.
to insult myself and my people, Clam Killer is not that far from Colmkilla.
No, it's absolutely not. What those poor clams ever do to you?
To tell you later.
But yeah, no, I think it. I mean, I think the movie does a really good job. Obviously, I think it plays up sort of more of that Celtic folklore aspect versus that Christian aspect, which I mean, I still think that comes through, given that most of the characters we see are in some way tied to this abbey and therefore are themselves either religious figures or, like Brendan, sort of training to be a religious figure.
Since we're talking about the other characters in the Abbey, suddenly, is this the time to talk about what I think is distinctly the worst part of this film?
The elephant in the room, that is the one black character.
I did like I was as I was starting, I was opening up my Wikipedia tabs as one does. It was that moment where I looked at the screen, looked down at my phone, and went, now wait a minute. Turn my like I did a double take. I'm like, we went with that? We thought that
It's a
was
little weird because, right, it is a very stereotypical
okay. It's a
drawing that
caricature.
is right, quite a caricature, kind of a minstrel show vibe, which is weird because this movie was made like not long ago. It's 2009.
2009.
This movie is, I mean,
Does it
and I
would
think, yeah,
it
a lot of that comes from the fact that, European countries do not necessarily have American sensibilities on racism, specifically blackface and minstrel shows. Like,
Yes.
that you see this in other
That
non-American
imagery
too.
specifically to us as Americans, immediately our brains goes, oh, the bad times. That's real racist. And in Europe, there's different. Most people understand that some things are racist, but there is also, to them, non-racist blackface for things. This just feels racist. And could I make it worse, real just
Oh.
quick?
Yes, please make it worse.
Voice actor, not black.
Yeah, I was sort of worried about that. That
He
makes
is Irish, Sri Lankan Irish, I believe.
sense. Okay, so at least not like completely white.
Not just a white man,
Cute. I mean,
but
okay,
still, but it was a it there was an accent they were going for, and I
Oh,
so
yeah.
upon seeing that went, I don't think that's your accent. I think we're going with more stereotype. Now, have I met this man ever in my life? No. Is he not a black man? Yes.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
the
I think.
character's not important. Like, they didn't have to have that character.
No, he could have just
There's
not been
no
there.
reason to have it.
Like I do want to believe it was done in good faith. Like I want to believe they were like, we want, because he's there because he's demonstrating that in Kells, in this abbey, there are basically representatives from all over the world. And he's kind of there as he has traveled from Africa to be part of this effort. He's, you know, kind of like a missionary almost, which I think is good, because I think it makes it creates the message that this book is not just for the Irish people. It is for everyone who calls Ireland home at any point, which I think is a good message, especially since a lot of the film is concerned with fending off Viking invaders who are seeking to destroy Irish culture. That being said, once they realized they couldn't find a black voice actor, which I imagine was kind of the impetus for this, maybe that was when they should have scrapped the idea altogether.
And the character just, I don't think this is a spoiler, just isn't in the film for a long time.
No, he's just kind of there. He's there to shock and dismay American audiences, and then he vanishes.
Yeah, so that was a rough opening, not gonna
lie. It was earlier in the film, too, so it's definitely like,
it's like the second shot. Opinion,
right, as you're forming your opinion of the movie, getting your first impression of the movie, that's sort of one of the first things you are shown. So, and not ideal. I don't think it ruins it. Again, I don't think it was made in bad faith. I think it comes from just a place of, could they have been more sensitive? Yes, I'm not undeniably. I mean, I think the fact
they were trying to make it multicultural, and they were trying to hit the target, and unfortunately, the arrow was blown off course quite quickly, and it struck a nearby tree.
For sure, yeah. I think they
actually it accidentally hit Scarlett for some reason. Don't know why she was there, but I had to pull an arrow out of her knee.
I do not have the luck of the Irish.
She used to be an adventurer like us, and then she took that arrow to the knee.
And I took a bolt of lightning to the knee. Yeah, woof.
I would say this film is a slow pickup to kind of get into it. It is a little bit slow to be like, okay, I see what we're doing. I see what we're doing now.
Yeah, I think it is not. Wolfwalkers is one of my favorite films of all time, and I think that movie is better paced. I think this is a fairly slow movie. I think it's, in a lot of places, I think it's depending on the visuals to capture you, and I think in a lot of cases they do, but I think at certain times that's not quite enough. It's a very thin story.
It's Cartoon Saloon, so every film looks pretty good. This is its weakest visual one for parts of the movie. It's a lot simpler and cleaner.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
All our budget. Last 5 seconds, boys.
I love when I get to what's basically like the you know, but the post credits exist. This is like pre credits, and you get to see the, you know, illuminations of the Book of Kells, and it's unbelievable.
Of the Cairo page. Yeah, it's real nice.
It's so cool. I mean, it's amazing. And like, I think overall the movie, I think, does what it sets out to do, which is it impresses upon you the importance of this book. Like, I think, you know, if you just have heard about it, it's just, oh, it's a religious text with some nice illustrations. And I think just sort of hearing that on paper, lots of different places have very nice old books. I think the movie overall does a good job of stressing that it's not just that the illuminations are incredible. It's not just that the book is, you know, religiously significant. It's not just that it's, you know, a very, very old document that has survived into the present. You know, it is, again, as I said before, it is a staple of this culture. It represents the intersection between multiple aspects of what would become the Irish culture as we know it today. So I think the movie does a good job at that. I think, yes, it is not
the ability to not be crushed by invading forces completely. Looking at you, British.
Yeah, the Vikings are definitely doing a lot of heavy lifting as stand-ins for a lot of different groups that have over the years come in and tried to wipe out the Irish people. And I think, the film does a good job of making you stand with these scrappy youngsters who are just trying to save their people and their way of life and their traditions. Really brutal scene when the Vikings are, you know, storming the walls and you see like the stair collapse and fire and bloodshed. Like it go and it happens fast too. Like this movie, like, again, is not the best paced, so it really does go from like we're frolicking in the forest to everything is burning in like the span
Oh,
of
everyone's dying.
minutes. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a lot.
the pacing is a little weird. It's short, so it's not like it's not the worst pacing, but it is a little weird at points. And
Yeah, I think yeah.
it is the story is very minimalistic. There is the story is just really there's a couple there's like three plots essentially. And it's very simplistic, very easy to follow, very I forgot all the words in the English language.
It's classic, I think is fair to
Yeah.
say. It's not trying to tell
It's a
anything
little, yeah.
really.
It's a railroad. We're just hitting all the stops.
And it's a story told from a child's perspective, which I think is also important to it. I think that has it's certainly what the rest of the Irish film trilogy has in common. Both Song of the Sea and Wolfwalkers are also focused on child protagonists and how they view the world and, you know, the innocent way they view the world. Like you have, you know, Brendan going out into the forest where he meets it's Aislinn, right? Aislinn is the
Ashlyn.
Aislinn, yes. Who is a fairy of the forest. You know, it's there is sort of a wonder there. And, you know, she is in turn, you know, intrigued and thinks that, you know, the book is wondrous. It's she's sort of a prototypical Maeve from Wolfwalkers and that same, you know, wild thing that lives in the forest, but she's a lot less interesting because she's just kind of like the perfect I am the spirit of the forest with my high wispy voice and I am perfect.
There is one like little background character in the fight scene that very much looks like a prototype of Maeve, like young small child, bushy red hair, and I went, Maeve, is that you? Here's your fun fact: Aisling is a type of poetry, in which the person who's being this story is being told about is having a dream with it regarding a seer and things to be, which is something that occurs in the film.
I was gonna say that is appropriate.
So there's your
Interesting.
fun fact. It's a type of poetry.
Yeah, I mean that it's you know just another that doesn't surprise me that there's just another aspect there of you know focus on that specifically Irish culture and folklore and heritage. I wish she was a little more interesting. She's not she's really not that interesting, and Brendan is kind of your typical POV character who is learning the mysteries of the world along with the audience. So as a result, unlike Wolfwalkers or Song of the Sea, I don't really connect with any of these characters that well.
Yeah. No, not they're very again, I feel like it sounds bad, but simplistic is it overall kind of the theme that this film went with other than visuals. They wanted to tell a type of story and it is a simple narrative and the characters are very basic. They're not tropes, but you can fit them into very distinct categories of
Yeah.
POV protagonist, support character that you don't learn a lot about, wise old man leading the protagonist, and crotchety old man stopping the protagonist.
Yeah, right. You sort of have your very classic mentor figure. You've got your classic obstacle who is the stern uncle figure who
You didn't like
is
my way of
his way.
describing them? Crotchety old man and helpful old man?
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what they are, of course. Yeah, crotchety old man, helpful old man. You know, he's got his own like version of like Uncle Owen and Obi-Wan is kind of what's happening here, except
I
Uncle
was gonna
Owen
call him
grabbed Grogu.
Gandalf.
It's similar, yeah, possibly more of a Gandalf type. I will say I do like Brother Aiden a lot. I think he's got a fun personality. He reminds me a little bit
Love
of
him.
Merlin from The Sword in the Stone, the Disney version.
Yes.
He's got good humor to him, or I guess kind of, or like Dumbledore in the Harry Potter books, not necessarily the movies. Like he's kind of got fun old man energy, and you see why Brendan is you know, entranced by him and wants to work with him and is sort of equally enthused about the book. And of course, because Brother Aiden is enthused about the book, we, the audience, are enthused about the book, which, you know, again, is not the easiest task. Like, the folklore element in this movie, you know, on one level it's Aisling, but on another level it's sort of the book itself. And that's difficult to do because, unlike, say, the Wolfwalkers or the Selkies in Song of the Sea, a book is just kind of a book. It's paper. So it's harder for them to get the audience to sort of see it as a character in and of itself that is extremely important and needs to be protected. But I think they do a good job at that. Like I said, I think the animation style helps support that. You know, it feels very much like medieval, you know, portraits and art style. So, like, just
Oh,
looking at
absolutely.
it, you are instantly put in a certain time and place. And I think
Yes.
that's also important to this story, is you look at it and you feel like, okay, this is a world without a lot of books. This is a world that is just starting to understand that you need to write stuff down to preserve it for future generations.
Everything is hand scribed. It's a lot of work.
Yes,
Most
yes.
people can't read.
And right, then of course you have people like Brendan's uncle who think that the most valuable use of anyone's time is building a wall for defense, which he's not wrong. Like, he's sort of proven partially right when the Vikings invade and they were not really prepared for that.
Walls, very helpful at medieval times.
Yes, incredibly so.
Great an investment.
Which I think I
You're going
sort
to
of
love these walls.
I appreciate that little bit of complexity that comes in there, that, you know, the book is important, yes, but without people working to protect the book, it might have been destroyed. Like, it really only, according to this story, it really only survived because Brendan and Brother Aiden were able to sneak away, you know, kind of in the nick of time. But there's a very real world in which the Vikings burn all of Kells to the ground and the book is destroyed and never sees the light of day. So I think, you know, I like that Brendan's uncle isn't entirely wrong. Like, they give him some humanity. They don't make him out to be just some monster who is just focused on war for no good reason. Like, he's not the villain of this story. And in fact,
No, he's
we have a
the
nice thing at the end where he reconciles with Brendan. It's very
yeah.
touching.
He's just the man who got a little too focused on one aspect of protecting his people.
Yes, and who in
He's a
turn not a
tunnel
good,
visioned man
right? Like,
who hasn't met one.
I love all the shots of Brendan in his like little hole bedroom. That's just like this tiny cell, like little ladder leading up, like at the base of this wall. Like, oh my God, this it's like it's such Harry Potter in the cupboard. It's you know, you're not given a good first impression of his uncle. I'll say that.
No, he's an imposing figure. He's very much drawn to be an imposing, strict figure.
Yep. No, he's I they do a very good job at what they're trying to accomplish with these characters. I mean, that's your cartoon saloon character design is pretty stellar. With the obvious exception that we mentioned earlier,
Yeah.
maybe they should not. I mean, and I think they
And a
as
little bit of Tang, who was better, but I didn't love either.
I don't think they ever do a black character again, to my memory.
Well, in the trilogy, yes.
In the trilogy, yeah, my father's dragon does, and of course I think the breadwinner too. So, or maybe not. Well, at least people of color in
Well,
the breadwinner.
the breadwinner is people of color, but
Yeah,
I don't know
I
about.
don't know if they have. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that one.
I believe it's an AF. I want to say it's an Afghani story.
It's either that or Iranian. I can't. I'm
Or
terrible at.
Syrian. It's one of the three, which are I've watched a number of animated films on all those areas, so now they're all just kind of sometimes pulling the filing cabinet papers out is a little bit like a speed. And I'm going, I can't quite read my handwriting.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. It is Afghani. So, but yes.
I should have trusted my gut.
I always trust your gut, Katie. It's usually right. But yeah, I mean, I think we might have sounded like we're a little harsh in this movie. I think overall, Secret of Kells is an excellent
I think
movie.
we're I wouldn't say we're harsh. I think we're critical of Cartoon Saloon because we know how good they can be, that we're in the thing of like, this was the one where they were starting. Their feet were quite firmly on the ground, yet they made some mistakes.
Yeah, I think with the benefit of hindsight, it's easier to criticize this movie knowing the highs they would very soon achieve. Again, Wolfwalkers being very close to my favorite movie.
Important thing with learning how to do art and media is taking critiques, and these are all, like, without critiques of their films, they wouldn't have gotten as good. Though this one was nominated for an Oscar because four of their films have been nominated for Best Animated Film, and they have zero wins.
Which is the most bonkers thing in the world to
or
me.
Is it
that
three?
Wolfwalkers, I think
was
all
Song
of
of
them.
the Sea?
I think, I'm pretty sure
I think
Song
so.
of the Sea was nominated.
I think My Father's Dragon was the first one that didn't get nominated.
Yeah, which also feels like it deserved it. But then again, if I recall, that was Pinocchio's year.
I want to say so. So Netflix already had one.
Right, Netflix had one. They had two, actually. They also had The Sea Beast in there. And Wendell
Oh, yes.
Of that year.
All
and
about
that was also
Netflix's
Puss in
year.
Boots's year. That
yeah,
was...
it was a busy year.
That was... that. Right, I mean, I can't quite criticize My Father's Dragon for not making the cut there. That was a competitive year.
Yeah. No, because if some...
Here we might have other comments, but...
I would say if someone were to ask me, should I watch this film, my answer would be yes. If their question was, I only am going to watch one Cartoon Saloon film, what am I going to watch? What should I watch? My answer would be Wolfwalkers.
Right.
Second to Brad Renner, Song of the Sea. I don't remember where My Father's Dragon fell in it. This would probably be towards the end, because just those other three films are just top tier.
Yeah, and I would say I've got somewhat rose-colored glasses when it comes to My Father's Dragon, because the book it's based
nostalgia.
On was a big childhood favorite. So I have a slight, I don't know how objective I can be. I will say, like, my gut instinct is My Father's Dragon is better than Secret of Kells. But I think they're close. I think they're in a similar place. And yeah, I think exactly as you said, Katie, if someone asked me, should I watch this movie? I'd definitely say yes. I think without hesitation, I think it's a very good film.
It's an enjoyable hour and 15 minutes. It's a well-made film. It's got its qualms, but most films do. There's very rarely a film where I go, I have no comments about that might be regarded negatively.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wolfwalkers kind of is that for me. I have very little ill I could possibly say about Wolfwalkers. If someone asked, you know, if I'm only going to watch one of these movies, which should it be? The answer is Wolfwalkers. If someone comes up to me and says, I only have time to watch one more movie in my life, the answer might also be Wolfwalkers. So with that in mind, it is in retrospect, Secret of Kells is going up against a very harsh competition. But it didn't have that when it first came out, so I'd say an excellent first effort, and for great things to come.
It got the ship going,
for sure.
But we must wait till 2025 for their next movie,
and we will be here waiting excitedly, because I mean they've really only done bangers. I'm loving
except for
them.
That film None of Us Know that just came out. It doesn't have a Wikipedia page, so I don't know what it is.
I didn't even hear about that one.
It came out like 2023. It seems like it's a very much like it's based on a show they made in Ireland, I think.
Oh, interesting. Well, maybe I should pursue it then. I don't know.
It didn't have a Wikipedia page, so I could learn no more.
Yeah. They also did a really good short for Star Wars Visions last year.
Yes.
Was
one day I'll watch Visions.
You, Katie, love
wait, have
Visions.
I watched Visions? No, I haven't watched Visions yet.
No,
I get it confused with Tales of the from the Jedi, which is also short form Star Wars content,
which I have not seen.
Yeah, it comes early in the chronology. It's fine. I'm still stuck in Bad Batch land. And a new one just came out, so it's like, well, I'm glad I didn't move.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's too much content we can possibly consume all of this content. Any final thoughts to wrap up Secret of Kells, Katie?
No, I think I've said all I need to say.
Yeah, I think the thing about sums it up for me. Again, definitely watch it. And, you know, if you're looking for a film to watch on St. Patrick's Day, if you're throwing yourself a little St. Patrick's Day party, I think definitely it's good representation of Irish culture. Just kind of have this and Song of the Sea and Wolfwalkers playing on a loop. They're all pretty short and they're all excellent. All right, well, we're going to pop back into our cartoon time machine, and I think Katie's going to teach me how to make boxty. I'm
going to make that, and you better be wearing green. If I see you wearing orange, you're kicked out of the time machine.
I promise I won't wear any orange, okay?
There's no orange on St. Patty's
Day. You're
going
to pinch me, right?
I'll throw a lemon at you.
No, not a lemon!
If you wear orange, it's a grapefruit.
Oh, no. That's assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah, I was debating coconut also.
Oh god. That would kill me. That would actually
that one would hurt.
I would get brained by that thing, and I would probably deserve it if I show up wearing orange.
Thank you.
I'm Scarlett.
I'm Katie.
We're your animates, and we will see you next time.